Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Give me 1 second here. You know I had to put some of that music on.
Sorry about that. I just, you know, I like to come in with something mellow. Sets the tone.
I am okay with that. I just got back off of the Mike White, my stuff with the Buffalo Soldiers.
Yes, so, how'd it go?
Always. We always have a great time. Got my helmet hair.
I was going to say, you look like they got the best of you out there, girl.
Yes, got my helmet hair on. That's
you looking good, though. You looking well.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Dr. Betty Speaks. I am your lifetime imprint leader. Listen, I'm extremely passionate about empowering individuals to resurrect and establish themselves through the four components of life, and that's spiritual growth, financial literacy, personal and professional development. I am the chosen warrior who inspires others to create an imprint that will live on long after they are gone. I hold those virtual group and family workshops on leaving an imprint. I will help you understand to the importance of rising above your life encounters and how you should start facilitating simple things into your lives just by getting rid of the stress that plagues our nation. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to Overcoming Battles. This is that intentional, motivational, plus inspirational show that is filled with wisdom that will awaken your hope, your ambition, faith, and inner strength, plus cover a variety of genuine life-changing topics designed to encourage listeners who are worldwide. You know, strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. So again, thank you for tuning in every Wednesday. Like I tell you, every Wednesday, I have a phenomenal, phenomenal guest. I honestly do today as well. You'll be listening to nothing but the stone cold truth. So if you're lacking in motivation right now to the point that is keeping you stuck in life, guess what? The only person standing in your way is you. And when I say I have a phenomenal guest today, I honestly do. I'm telling you, the very first time I laid eyes on this young man, I'm like, oh yeah, he's cute, good looking, handsome, but the music, it really invites you into the comfort of yourself. I'm telling you, the music that this young man plays, and I'm not even sure how he was gifted or talented enough to know how to bring about a song or lyrics to a song that was soothing your soul. When I first met him, the song that I stick with today, people see you, but they just don't know. I'm telling you, anytime someone asks me, what's your song? It's either people see me, but they just don't know. All I do is win, 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 win. And when I say people see you, but they just don't know, they automatically know the person who I heard that song from. We only have a short time on this show today, but I want to bring up my guest, my longtime friend who I've known for maybe, 4 or 5 years now. But he traveled maybe 18 miles or so from one side of the United States to where I am to perform at a women's event. Now, I'm telling you, this was a women's event, but yeah, there were men there too, but you can count the men on one hand. But the one person they walked away with, knowing those women, with my guest today. I know you're like, you keep saying your guest, well, who is he? His nickname is DJ Mike J. Everyone knows him as DJ Mike J, but he is more than just a DJ. I'm going to bring him on. Let me see. Let me knock on the door and see if he's there. DJ, are you there?
Absolutely, I am, Dr. Betty Speaks, and thank you for having me.
Yes, you know, I'm going to invite him just to play a little of what he does so I can get in the right mood right now as he come on.
See, thank you so much for having me, because look, here's the thing today. I want people to understand that, you know, overcoming the challenges, the aspects of life really put you in a position to be able to do more. And when you've had some things subtract away from who you've been, and when you was growing up, there's a lot of things that we thought we lost. It's funny that all you have to do is live this life. And if you continue to live this life, then you can understand that there's so much more to add to who you are than to who you're actually going to become. Because when you become who you're supposed to be, the benefit in knowing that all of the things that you thought that you lost once upon a time in your life, all of the things that people told you that you could not be once upon a time in your life, when people told you what you was not going to do, all of the things that you were going to leave behind, not only including all of the things that you would have lost to be on this platform right now, where you are exactly where you're supposed to be at this moment in time, it's powerful to understand that what you have to add to other people, what you have to add to this world and life right now. Listen, I'm putting this music on because, listen, this is a moment to soothe the thoughts, soothe the negativity, soothe the depression, and to soothe the ambitions that we know that we have to do, because we want people to understand that what we've been through has nothing compared to what we can contribute in this life. So Dr. Betty Speaks, I had to do this just, but you know, thank you so much for this platform and this opportunity and the honor to connect with people who are just having an ear to listen on today.
Yes, I told you guys, awesome. I was getting ready to just go downstairs and come back with a nice smooth glass of sparkling water.
Yes. Yes.
That was great, great. DJ, tell us, what motivated you to motivate others? What is it?
You know, it was a hard upbringing. And I mean, and I say that with all sincerity because of the emotion behind it, because when you know what you've been through, there's a lot of connection that we build. But there's one thing is true. Nobody knows your struggle like you do. Mm. Nobody knows what you've been through like you do. And when I say that because I know that as a kid, I was diagnosed as a child. I was born with this rare disease called Milroy's disease. And this disease is something that is still with me today. So it's not only about overcoming, it's going through at the same time for me, because I still live with the same disease that is not contagious, but it is a very rare disease that they said that only 200 diagnosed cases in the world of this disease. And here I am surviving it day to day. And so what happened was, I was very sick growing up. I spent a lot of time in and out of hospitals. And, you know, I'm a little older. I mean, I may not have as many years, but I'm a little older where I grew up in the 70s. And in the 70s, anybody knows that the technology is nowhere where it is right now. So helping to understand what I've dealt with Milroy's disease. And let me help the listeners understand something. Milroy's disease was, the definition of this is it is a inherited condition. So this is a genetic inherited condition. Now, when I was diagnosed with Milroy's disease, they went to my mother and they asked her, hey, who do you have in your family that has ever dealt with anything like this? And my mother's answer was simple, no one. So they went to my father and they asked my father the exact same question. Who in your family was diagnosed with something like this that you know of, so we can kind of trace how to handle this? He said, no one. Now, let me say this again. The mystery, and I still live with this mystery, is that if this is supposed to be an inherited condition, how did I end up with something like this with no traceable sides on my mother or father's side with this disease?
Wow.
And so, and the thing is, in going through this, growing up, everything that I went through, the pain, the suffering, the doctors, the cold chills, the uncontrollable fevers, all of the things that I went through with this, I went through it for the very first time. And my mother was my hero. She was my champion. But for the time of all the years of growing up with my mother, every time I went through something, I went through it for the first time. But guess what? So did she.
Wow. You,
and there's, I know there's parents out there, and as parents, you can only imagine what it's like to have to go through sickness with your child and feel completely helpless and not being able to do anything about that. you know, but my mom was my champion. She went through it with me. And I'll fast forward a little bit because this was something that was very real. I had to live with this. It is noticeable in the left leg where it retains the fluid. I have lymphatic issues. I have, you know, I have a low white count. On top of having Milroy's disease, I'm also a survivor of sickle cell anemia. Why do I tell you this? Because anybody, if you know your medical history, you can look it up and look and see what it says about sickle cell trait. If your mom has a sickle cell trait and your dad has the sickle cell trait, what happens to the child? They are born into sickle cell anemia with two parents that have sickle cell trait. But what happened with me was I was only fortunate enough to be born with the trait, but that still means I have a low white blood cell count. So I have to deal with Milroy's disease on top of sickle cell trait. And, you know, so it was rough growing up, but where did I find my passion? Where did things turn for me? My mother said something so profound to me one day that it stuck with me even to this day. Thank God that I still have her with me. But when I was young as a child, I didn't want to go outside and play. I was scared to get cut. I was scared to scrape myself up. I was scared to be around certain kids because of the teasing. People would make fun of me and things of that nature. And so what happened was I remember sitting on the porch and my mother said, "Hey, why aren't you playing?" I said, "Well, Mom, I just don't know what to do because these kids are making fun of me." She says, "Let me tell you something. If you treat this like a handicap, that's all it's going to ever be." That one sentence right there that my mother shared with me still sticks with me to this day, because she got me out of a place that I was trying to fall deep into, acceptance of who I was, where I was, and why I was there. And once I realized that I could come out of that, and it wasn't an easy reality. Because even though I still accepted what my mom said, it didn't stop people from talking about me, from teasing me, from making fun of me. You know, people would make friends with me just so that I could become the butt end of their jokes. They would laugh right in front of me. You know, and so what happened was I had to learn to start loving myself. So what I did was I became more internalized because of that. Even though my mom gave me some good words of wisdom that didn't really manifest till I got older, I actually gravitated to some things that I wanted to see for myself internally. So one of the things that I did was I had a love for music. My grandmother used to have these old school house parties where you go to her house at 5 o'clock after everybody got off work. You know, we had people walking in with pans of food and, you know, they're bringing in desserts. Here it is 6:30 in the evening and there's food walking in the door and grandma just had the music going on in the house. Now, those old school parties would last all night long. They'd be there all day and all night. And you know what happened was they would wake up the next morning. They'd eat breakfast before they went home. Now, those were old school parties. And I loved the music. And I was a kid that was taught to stay out of grown folk business. But that was some business I couldn't avoid because it was something about the music that spoke to me. And so when I started going through things on my own, I gravitated to the music that would make me feel special on the inside. Because people wasn't going to give me what I needed. So I had to turn inward. And so once I started turning inward, I began to heal myself from the inside out, from the music that was resonating, from the things that I heard. Because one thing you know, and I know Dr. Betty Speaks, is that in the 60s and 70s, and even into the 80s, when they made music, it was about something. It was real life application stories, things that people actually went to. But what made it so powerful is that people could gravitate to those stories and they could just take little bits and pieces of that and apply it to their own life. So it helped me. But what I also learned led me into the music is that the music actually helped other people. But I had to learn how it helped me first so I could see a need to how it would be beneficial to other people. So then I started playing music for other, you know, groups of folks and they would love the music. They tell me how much it meant to them. And one story, I mean, I know, I hope I'm not rambling on too long, but one thing that I said, when a lady came to me and she said to me one night, I had just got done playing a nice party. It was a very good reception. There was probably 150 people there. As she came, she says, "Hey, DJ, I want to tell you, you did a great job." Now I'm just wrapping up the wires. I'm not thinking about, you know, what it really meant to her, but I heard her say thank you. So my natural response is, "Hey, you're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Thank you for being a part of it." And she says, no, she stopped me right there. And she says, "I don't think you understand." She said, "Because what you don't know is that I haven't danced with my husband in over 20 years. She says, "And I don't know what you had or what you did tonight, but you did something that gave me something that I haven't felt from my husband in over 20 years. And I have to thank you. So that made so it meant so much to me to do what I did, because the connection in music is more than just the song that you're playing. Mm-hmm. It's actually the meaning and the feeling behind the words, because you connect with people through the very same songs that you play with the intention that it is created for. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and so that has sparked out who DJ Mike J is. When I walked in the room and I seen Dr. Betty Speaks, and I had to look at it one time and I had to say,
people seen it, but they just don't know.
Listen, guys, this is what I'm talking about, the power of music. When I seen Dr. Betty Speaks, I said, people see me, but they just don't know. There was power in that word. But you know what about that song is that it resonated with almost everybody in the room. When they heard that song, I had people coming left and right, and they said, I need that song, because so many people may see you, but they just don't know, because the struggle, and it's not just about the struggle, but the obstacles that you go through and the things that you overcome that put you in the position right now is not necessarily what they see, because sometimes
people see me, but they just don't know. People see me, but they just don't know.
People may see you and they just don't know, but we want people to understand what they're looking at. So we want to make sure people understand, hey. So listen, I gotta cut that, because we get so fired up on the whole nutrition. Listen what I'm saying. There's nutrition in understanding who you are. There's nutrition in understanding that sometimes people see you, but they just don't know what's down on the inside. The creation of the person they see, they couldn't walk through this in 20 years if they wanted to, because people just don't know. Dr. Betty Speaks, thank you.
You know what? I'm like, where's my shoe? It's somewhere over there. I honestly love everything you said. Listen, if you have been enjoying DJ Mike J, Dr. Michael Freeman, you're going to have to just chime in. Let me know. Listen, I want to know how I can get in touch with him, where you get him from. Just leave comments, you know, because he's going to tell you how you can get in touch with him later on. And you've already answered like my next question. I wanted to ask you, what were some of the setbacks or challenges that you had to overcome on your journey? You shared every last one of them. There was one story you didn't share that I am aware of. It was at a game. Something happened at a game, and it has something to do with your mother. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
I want you to share that, because that was like one of your setbacks, I believe, or a challenge for you. And then I want, and then just let us know who's been some of your greatest inspirations during this journey of yours. Go ahead, Mike.
Absolutely. I'll fix my mic. Absolutely. What I went through was, it was my eighth grade year of middle school. Mm. And I tried to go out for sports when I was a kid. And because of the setback of Milroy's disease and my sickness, there was a lot of things I just couldn't do despite trying. I tried to go out for football and, you know, I just wasn't strong enough. I tried to go out for basketball and I just didn't have enough skill. You know, those things were held back, and I can't blame it directly on Milroy's disease. But what it did is I spent so much time sick. There was a time that every 3 months, like clockwork, I was in the hospital. And give you a little history on this hospitalization thing, as I can remember being stationed in Edwards Air Force Base in California with my father in the military. And I got sick like every 3 months. And this one particular time that I got rushed to the hospital, I had a temperature of 107 degrees. And while I had that 107 degrees, they couldn't figure out how to get my temperature down. The first contemplation that they said was that we need to look at amputating his left leg, because if we don't, it will infect the rest of his body and he could die from this.
Wow.
The second thing that they said is, we're going to do whatever we have to get this fever down, because he can fall into a coma at 107 degree temperature. I was staring in the face of falling into a coma. And so what happened was I remember it like it was nothing. I was probably 9 years old at the time. And they took me into this room. It was all mechanical stuff. And when you look, you remember back in the 70s and 80s when the football players had those those old drums, the tubs that they would fill with ice and they'd soak their bodies in those. You know, they'd put them on movies, you'd see, and you don't even see them no more, but those days were a long time ago. But they had those ice drums and they would fill them with ice water and they would soak their muscles. So what they did is they took one of those drums and they filled it completely with ice. And they took water and they filled it up about halfway, but it was all ice, just enough water in there to make the ice move.
Yes.
And they picked me up by my shoulders, underneath my armpits, and they picked me up by my feet, and they dropped me in that ice. 107 degree temperature, and they put me in that tub of ice water. When I tell you the feeling behind being dropped into something like that, if it didn't kill you, you was ready to die. But with a temperature like that, it was like fire set on fire. I couldn't explain the feeling because it was so, I was so delirious behind it. The thing is, technology, again, I say, wasn't what it is now. They felt that was their only option and that's all that they could do. But back, let's skip ahead. In eighth grade, I wanted to go out for sports. I couldn't get to basketball, I couldn't get to football, but I got to track. And that's the one thing I said I wanted to do was run, because I could have lost my leg at an early age and I had an opportunity to run. So I was determined to run. So when I got on that track and I would practice with the kids, I would run my hardest and we did everything that we could do to practice. But what happened was, it was our last city meet of the year. Every track meet that we had, I couldn't run. They wouldn't let me run. They would not let me run. I was an active participant, a member, but they would not let me run. So at this eighth grade, it was a city meet. And in city meets, they bring all of the middle schools in the city to one location, and they have this huge track meet, kind of like our Olympics. So so at this meet, what happened was all the races went. I never got an opportunity to run. All the races continued. I never got an opportunity to run, but I sat there and I cheered for my team. Then it was the last meet. It was the last actual event of the meet. It was the 400-meter run. And I heard my name, Freeland. I said, yes. They said, you're up. 400 meter, get down there. So I got down there. I was excited. I got all the way down there. And this stuff can be a little emotional. I apologize. But I got all the way down there on the track, and I got on the marks like I was supposed to. Ready, set, go, bang. The gun goes off. So I take off running. Now, as I'm running, you know, I see I'm running along the high school side where the main bleachers are, is where we take off, and we got to come back around to cross it for the finish line. So I get all the way to that first 200, I'm booking. And I mean, I'm going, I'm feeling good. But once I got to the first 200, I started to slow down. And I made it around to that 300 meter mark, and I began to really slow down. And as I got on that last 100 meter stretch, I had to run in front of the whole audience to get to the other side of the bleachers where the finish line was. So I had to continue to run. And as I was running, not only did all the participants make it close to the finish line or to the finish line, I was out there by myself for a while, the last 75 meters. And I could hear the people, I could hear the people in the audience laughing at me. I could hear them because I had to wear shorts and my leg was really swollen. And so it was different for me. So I could hear the people laughing at me, but it wasn't the fact that the people were laughing at me that got to me. It was the fact that my mother was sitting in the middle of the audience and hearing all the people teasing and making fun of her son. And that bothered me so bad that I still have emotion behind discussing that today.
Yeah.
Because no matter the way I was treated, I had to learn to have an immunity to the way people looked at me and talked about me. But the fact that I had to watch my mother endure that.
Mm.
And I'll be honest, you know, my mother came unglued on a lady because the lady had no idea she was talking about her son.
Yes.
She was talking to my mother. So that was a point in my life that I'll always remember. But it was an obstacle that I overcame because mm-hmm. I understood it as I got older, who that has brought me to be now, how the tragedies and how the disappointments and how the things in life that set you back find a way to create something that the mold just can't hold. Let me say that again. It finds a way to create something that the mold just can't hold, because there's more to me than meets the eye. But if you would never ask the question, you would not know. Mm-hmm. You know, but my mission in life is to continue to add value to other people, because I remember a time when people didn't give me a penny. So I had no value to in other people's eyes. But once I learned how to grow through what I've been through, then I learned that there's more that I can add out here in this world. So I became Dr. Michael Freeland. I became an author first of a book called Free Your Land, Developing Your Mental Real Estate. It's my authored book on Amazon right now. It's ready for eBooks also. But also wanted people to know that this story is not just a story of survival. It's not just a story of hope. It's a story of inspiration. It's a story of what you can. It's a story of the people that said they couldn't. It's a story of continuing what you started. It's a story of going beyond the finish line. Yeah. So I'm thankful, Dr. Betty Speaks, for allowing me to have this opportunity to just share a little bit about who I am as a man, how this sick young man became a DJ, how this DJ became a book author, how this book author became a honorary PhD doctor, you know, and how I continue to work in the vision to help other people. It's not just in the U.S., it's abroad. I was a delegate, you know, with the World Civility Ambassador, and now soon to be King of Ghana, Sir Clyde Rivers. You know, I was a delegate with him over there in the Kingdom of Toro, meaning the king, the youngest king in the world, having opportunities. But how do I get these opportunities? For one, I believe your honesty, your transparency is major in understanding who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. This is amazing only in the sense that God is in control. I'm going to say this again. God is in control, because I would not be anywhere if God hadn't forwarded me the opportunity through what I thought I was going through into now what I know I'm going to do. So I got to keep moving in the purpose that is set before me, because if I stop, somebody is going to lose that battle. And I didn't come through this battle to get to the other side, to not give these strategies that I have that help people to be able to connect with what I'm doing. So thank you, Dr. Betty.
Yes, you've heard it from Dr. Michael Freeland. Listen, I love when he talks about his book, too. Every Monday morning, you have to catch him as he chants about his book. And we're going to ask him shortly how you can get a copy of that. And honestly, he has said some powerful things. All of us have deep down things that will allow us to go back and just revisit. We can revisit some of those things that were emotional to us, because they were just that. They were our emotions when we went through something. And if you can, like I always tell one, if you fall into a well, or if a friend is in a well, you don't have to go down in that well with them. You can throw them a rope you can allow them to climb out of it. So I can tell that he's been in a well and he's climbed out. He's gone there and he's climbed out. He's gone in and he knows how to climb back out of that well once he's been affected by that story. And it moved not only me, so many other people. It wasn't about him. It was he was running and worried about what people were saying to his mom, the fact that his mother had to witness that. We all have those stories, and the fact that he can tell that story to say, yep, that happened to me too, that's what this is about. You know, he overcame that, and he still remembers it because of the love. If you don't love your mom, if you don't love your parents, and something like this happened, that means you're not going to have any feelings about what happens when people are laughing at you. But he has strong feelings for his parents, which leads me to my next question. As I said before, what or who has been some of your greatest inspirations during your journey with playing the music, writing the book, and just being that motivational speaker that you are? I mean, you speak from the heart, powerful.
Yes. Yes. You know, I'll tell you, let me give the first thing. I got to give honor to God. And I know that's a standard thing for a lot of people, but it's very real in this life and in this world. And one of the things I wanted to also share is that my mom has been my hero my whole life. And, you know, and why is that? Because we did it all. We did it all together, you know, and I got to see her face in disappointment, and I also get to see her face in total bliss and triumph and proud, just utterly proud of her son. And I mean, and that there's no better feeling than that. But I tell you, when it came to getting on this platform, because what people don't know, and I've shared it with a few, is that at some point I was actually getting ready to quit DJing. I was a DJ for probably about 25 to 26 years at that point. And I was ready to give it up. I did one last event that I believe was going to be my last, and that was when I was doing a 50-year wedding anniversary for the parents of Dr. Reuben West in Topeka, Kansas. And I remember doing that. Everybody had a wonderful time, and Dr. West approached me at the end, and he says, "Hey, DJ Mike J, how you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing fine, sir." He says, "Let me ask you something." I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Would you travel?" I said, before I even understood what I was saying yes to, I said, "Yes, I absolutely would." Now, the whole reason I was ready to give this up is because, you know, as time goes, these kids evolve, the technology evolves, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes we may get it in our heads that we may not have it like we used to. So for me, I was still a great DJ, but I was willing to go out on top of my game rather than allow myself to continue into something that I would begin to start to mess up for other people, because I refuse to mess up events for other people. If I didn't feel like I had it to contribute, I'm not going to mess this up just to keep a name out here. So I was willing to give it up, but what he did is he breathed life into me, and he brought me into Black Belt Speakers. And in Black Belt Speakers, I found a family, not only a family, a support system, and a love that I still feel to this day. Mm. You know, and I'm grateful to Dr. Reuben West and this family of mine for everything that they've done and contributed to me. And I came in as a DJ not knowing I was completely ripe on anything. But let me tell you, I got to give this one to you, Dr. Speaks. The first event in Chicago, we was down in Midway doing a major event. My first engagement with him. And I said this, now he knows now probably because he's heard me say it before. But at this event, I got there on a Friday night. Now, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a three-day event. So when I walked in, I said, "Okay, Dr. West, I'm here. I'm setting up. I got all my stuff. It's sound check, everything. Okay, what would you have me do?" He walked away from me, Dr. Speaks. He walked away from me. So I said, "Okay, maybe he's busy. I'll catch him before we go." Now, we're like 20 minutes out before the event starts. And I go to him again, and I said, "Dr. West, okay, we got about 20 minutes. What would you have me do? How do you want me to go about this? I'm here." But, and he says, he laughed at me. He says, "You got this." And he walked on. I looked at him. I said, "Is he serious?" Now, I'm in Chicago, first time ever in Chicago, never been in this type of city before or this environment. My first time in a speaking engagement, I didn't know what to do. So the first day, let me tell you, I personally felt, I stunk it up so bad, I was going to wake up at 3 a.m, pack my stuff, and go home. I felt so terrible about the first day. So Saturday comes, the second day comes. So I survived the night. I go in there on Saturday, and I looked at him again before we get started. I said, "All right, Dr. West, it's Saturday." And he said, "Hey, you know, last night was pretty, you know, I'm sorry about last night. I apologize because I felt like I didn't do that well." He said, "Oh, you was fine." So I said, "What would you have me do?" Again, he laughed it off. He says, "Oh, man, you got this." And he walked away from me. And I said, "You got to be kidding me again." And Saturday was an entire day of me just trying to figure this thing out. So Sunday comes. It's the last day. What happened was I went to sleep that night. I got a song in my spirit. And the song came to me. And the song was called Power. So I said, "Okay, if that's all I got, I'm going to use it." So I woke up the next day. I got in there that Sunday morning because we only went to about 1 o'clock maybe at the latest. So I get in there and I play this song. And this song is such a hit that Dr. West says, "You got to play that song again." So I'm like, "Okay, I'll play it." So I played that song maybe 3 times, just getting people in their seats, and everybody was loving the song. So I said, "Oh my goodness, this is great." So the Sunday came and it went and I was done. So then after it was all over with, I cornered him up. I went straight to him. I said, "Dr. West, you got to tell me, man." I said, "Listen, I came to you on Friday. I came to you on Saturday. And I asked you again on Sunday and you would not tell me anything." I said, "Dr. West, why wouldn't you help me? I was needing some assistance just to give me guidance on what I needed to do." And here's what he said to me. He says, "DJ Mike," he said, let me tell you something. He says, "How do you tell a painter how to paint if you're not an artist?" I said, "I'm done." I said, "I'm done." I threw my hands up. I said, "That's it. I'm done." He said, and then he said, he explained it to me perfect. He says, "I am not a DJ. You are." He says, but what I knew is that if I get you in the environment and in the talent level that you had, that your natural ability would take over and you would figure this thing out. He says, Mike, and he said, I took a survey with everybody that came to the whole event. He says, and all but two people said the best addition to this event. All but two people said that you were the best thing that happened to this event.
Wow.
He says, so how do you feel now? I was done. I'm my worst critic because I believe in my business enough that I got to put my best product out in everything I do. Well, so I'm thankful for that. You know, that is a major inspiration to me. And, you know, and on top of that, just the faith that Ambassador and the King Clyde Rivers had in me to give me the opportunity to go to another country where I had never been before, mm-hmm. and gave me the opportunity on two occasions during that trip to cut my teeth in international speaking to the children of Kiowa International University at the college, you know, and then have an opportunity to speak to God's people in the congregation of over 500 people. Mm-hmm. Man, this is huge. And, you know, and then coming back with the idea that I need a book. I said, what? I need a what? A book. But let me tell you about this book. It took me 8 months to create because I was not going to do a book. And I told the king at the time, I'm not going to write no book because I don't know how. Right. Well, if I can give you just a little bit of how this book came about. I sat down and I got a notebook and I had a pen in my hand. I'm old school. I wasn't typing nothing. I had a book and I had a pen in my hand. So I said, let me start writing. So I started writing and I got so frustrated with it that I threw the pen across the room. I threw the pen across the room and I just like, I can't do this. I felt like I didn't have the capacity. So what I did, I got myself together. I went and picked that pen up. And what I did is I took that pen and I held it over my head and I said, okay, God, this is what I said. Okay, God, if you want this book, you do this. I'll be the instrument. You give me everything that you want me to put in this book and I will do it. But you take the reins on this book and I'll be doggone if words didn't start falling out of heaven and giving it to me. And every time I turned around, I was putting a chapter in that book. And I said, it took me 8 months. Why did it take me 8 months? Because everything that God gave me was an immediate download. And I had to give it to him when he gave it to me. So that's how the book Free Your Land, Developing Your Mental Real Estate was created. But the secret to the understanding the book is to know this. When I said this, is a lot of people, and I'm not discrediting anything. God does a lot for miraculous people all over the world every single day. But what he did for me is when this book was created, I couldn't touch it. There was one time I tried to go in to finish a chapter in the book. I couldn't touch it. When I grabbed the pen and tried to say, I just want to finish this chapter and I can move on. I just want to go to bed. So let me finish this. When I touched it, I couldn't find words to say. Not one single word. So the beauty in understanding how this book was created and the power in mental real estate, which is now in other institutions, teaching other people how to understand what their mental real of state of their mind is that when they read that book, what they don't get is that every single sentence, with the exception of maybe a punctuation, every single sentence in that book was only written one time.
That's good.
One time. So I thank God that this has been something special. It still continues to go. It's now my global initiative in Uganda. It's a global initiative in Ghana. I have already curriculum ready to go. I have workbook that's getting ready to come out. This thing is powerful enough that it's its own gas. I don't have to find the gas to fuel mental real estate because this was God's project to begin. And since this thing has taken off, all I can do is just be thankful. And I'm just honored to be able to have this platform. So thank you, Dr. Betty Speaks. Let me say this because I can't get away without saying that you have done so much to add to who I am. Your belief in what I do and how I can come to the platform on a stage that you have created on an international level has just been phenomenal. I'm so honored to just have you and call you as friend. I love you desperately. You are a great person, a great heart, and people would be lucky to have an opportunity to get to know you. So thank you for what you do, just putting me in this position.
You got me in tears, you know, because I'm flashing back through the years of seeing you and can't believe that, you know, that Dr. West, that's just who he is. I thank you, you know, yes. Because you will ask him a question. And the worst time to ask Dr. West a question is when he is in beast mode, you know, because he bring his professionals with them. Yes. And if I'm in beast mode, it's like, you're a painter. Why are you asking me how to paint?
Right.
Dear speaker. You know, it's like I can hear him saying that.
Yes.
Because he's in beast mode and he's focused on everyone else, you know, like his guests.
Right.
He's not worried about his speakers, his DJ, you know, he's not worried about all his utensils or, right. or the tools that he has there. It's the guest that he wants yes. to make sure
yes.
he's excited because he has the best of the best with him. And he can't wait to hear their, like that survey. That's,
yes.
you know, I want to know what everyone's going to think about who I have here today.
Right.
I got to get that survey done. So that is just who he is. I want you to let people know how they can contact you, how they can stay in touch with you. This platform is a platform where a person can, once they listen, they can automatically make comments and things.
Okay.
So let's talk about that.
All right. Well, hey, listen, I don't have a whole lot of literature out there for how people can reach me. But one thing I do know is I do have an email address, and that is djmj.freeland, F-R-E-E-L-A-N-D, the number 4@gmail.com. You can also reach me. You know what? Because I put my number out there a lot of times, and you know what, this is business, you know, and a lot of times people want to reach you, if nothing else, just to connect to say thank you. You know, my number is 785-218-5721. I am in the Kansas City area. And just to let people know, man, I'm celebrating. We'll get to that in just a minute. But what I am saying is that you can also reach me on Facebook at Michael Freeland. Or you can reach me on Facebook at DJ Mike J. And you'll see I got a big old logo there that says DJ Mike J. And it's phenomenal. So other than that, the actual website itself is still in developing stages and should be up within the week. So I will be posting that or getting back with Dr. Betty Speaks to get that information out to people. But I mean, I do a lot, and I've spent a lot of years trying to just stay behind the scenes and watch other people's events work, because it matters that much to me to make sure that you guys get everything that you need to bring the most out of your event. So I'm not only a DJ, I also do speaking events. So I actually run the audio, the full audio system. I own all of my own equipment, so there's no rentals necessary. I run all the mic systems, so there's no microphones necessary. So I mean, and I have all the equipment for videographers to be able to plug in and get the direct feed straight from me when they do their videos for your event. So I do a lot when it comes to, you know, just putting an event on. DJ Mike J, like you said, he's more than just a DJ. And the saying is always the same. It's not about the music. It's about the experience. And everywhere I go, I do everything I can to create the best experience for everybody that is in attendance.
That's it. I mean, you guys heard that. And he's right. Everywhere he goes, it's not about the music. It's about the experience. That is definitely one of his takeaways. Now, you have some things that are coming up even this year. You
yes.
know, tell us about that. This is like your signature event.
Yes. I'm going to be a part of an event in Kansas City with Brenda Ringwood in just a couple of weeks. And that's being the best you that you can be, helping you to overcome challenges. And that's a major speaking platform. Dr. Ruben West is flying back in from Africa for this also. So he'll be the keynote there. I will be handling the full audio system for 3 days and also being able to speak on this platform. I'll be the keynote on that Sunday. So it's going to be amazing there. So I'm excited about that opportunity. But September 18th is the day on my calendar right now that I have marked for major, major implications, because that is an opportunity in the Kansas City area where we get to bring none other than the newly crowned king, Ambassador Clyde Rivers, to Kansas City. Not only him, we're going to bring one of the baddest MCs in the game in Wendell Graham. We're going to bring, you know, Dr. Ruben West is invited. If he's in town, I have no question whether he'll show up or not. But we're going to have powerhouse speakers from across the country, and Dr. Tracy Ward, and then we also have Key Bird. I can't give them to you all, but we give them all to you. But we also have the great man in leadership, Sakoni Prince, also going to be here. It's going to be amazing, guys. And why am I telling you guys this? Because they're not just here to help put on a conference. They're here to help me celebrate, because I'm putting this thing on because this is my 30-year anniversary as a DJ. And as a DJ who's been doing this business for 30 years, let me tell you something. If you haven't had a reason to celebrate your 5-year work anniversary, 10-year anniversary, 15, 20, 25, if you can reach 30 years in anything you do, I don't care if you bake cakes for a living. If it's 30 years of doing the same trade and you love what you do, you owe it to yourself to celebrate yourself the best way that you can. And I'm thankful that everybody that's coming to this event on September 18th, it's going to be a powerhouse event. It's going to be a speaking event during the day. And in the evening, I'm going to commemorate my 30 years by throwing a suit and tie formal major upscale party. And I'm going to be the DJ at my own event because this is the only way I know to do it. So it's going to be great. September 18th, in just about another month and a half, we're going to have a major event. And the tickets are available on Eventbrite. They're also available on my Michael Freeland page or my DJ Mike J page. You can get to the bit.ly there and click on that, and it will tell you everything you need to know about the event. If you want more information, feel free to reach out to me in my messenger, or you can hit me directly on Facebook, or you have my number. Give me a call, send me a text message, whatever I can do to help you be a part of this experience. You don't want to miss this one, because how often can we say that we can bring a sitting king into the region, in the heartland of the country in Kansas City? It's going to be phenomenal.
And in Kansas, yes. You have to go. Hopefully we can find some ladies that want to click their heels with their red shoes on and be there. Remember, yes. I want to tell you that strength doesn't come again from what you can do. It comes from overcoming those things you once thought you couldn't. So thank you all for tuning in with us every Wednesday on Overcoming Battles. This month, we have an amazing, amazing guest. You heard DJ Mike J say where he is, the things he's doing. All you have to do is reach out to him. Honestly, just return. You can even speak to him by getting through me through messages, and I promise you, he will get them. We appreciate you being here this evening. See you next Wednesday.
You know, when I heard that, I had to go on and put it on. I said, hey, let me go on and...
Completely redesigned, but Shawnee Radio app is hotter than ever.
Ever.
Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.